Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
I'm commenting on LeBron James' golf swing.
Is it bad?
Yeah, it's been bad. It's pretty bad.
Barkley bad or just bad?
It's not Barkley bad. Stance is narrow. He's got a weak grip. Face is a bit more closed than I like. Way too fast of a backswing. Really terrible backswing. Short backswing. Very short backswing. Looks like 70%. Left arm's a train wreck. Zero weight transfer. It doesn't look good.
Would you say it's a disaster?
Yeah, I would.
You're a disaster.
I would. But he's a great athlete. I mean, if he really worked on his game, I bet you he could get good real fast. Real fast. And he could do all the things that he would be needed. He just needs a teacher. That's what he needs. He'd be fine. He's a good enough athlete. He'd be good.
Yeah. Just be tough to have a good score if you skip like three of the holes.
Is that what he does?
Probably. No, LeBron. Take the easy way out.
He goes to like a German PRP place.
He's just like, hey, man, there's a par five here. Start halfway.
He just takes his talents to the par three.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty consensus say that, Brian, you should not be in the video.
Yeah, I knew how that's. I conceded for a reason.
I won't read them all. Just consensus.
No,
another junkie, though. We don't need a video with any of y'all, more John and Lance, which I agree. I mean, they're Hall of Famers.
So,
we are
take of the day.
Nowhere near the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say?
Take of the day.
Take of the day.
That's the take of the day.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Hits a tons of flop shots. That's pretty good. LeBron hits tons of flop shots. That's pretty well. That might be better, Brian.
It's
the laugh graphic? The laugh graphic?
This one was
That
sincere.
Was pretty good.
It is pretty good.
That one was a good joke. I like that. That was really good. All right, Framber Valdez. Is he the most irreplaceable piece or the best subtraction, Joe?
It's a good argument for both sides of it. You know, like you're trying to replace a guy who throws 200-plus innings. He's your number two starter in the season. If you would have made the playoffs last year, he's the guy you're going to rely on behind Hunter Brown to make a run. At the same time, did he cross up his catcher and throw it at him on purpose? And it was kind of a mental head case at times for the Houston Astros. Like, I think you can...
Is that a rhetorical question? Or are you going to answer that?
I think he kind of was a mental head case.
Yeah, but do you think he intentionally crossed
no,
up
I don't.
Sally?
No.
I don't either. Now, I do think that he was working recklessly and wasn't waiting for signs.
I think he's,
and that's just as bad.
Yes, he's guilty. He's guilty of some things in that video, of that play.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as it seems.
No, I don't think it was
intent. Watch it. Mm-hmm. But I think he's more of a, of the two, I would put him in more of the category of most irreplaceable subtraction. Because while I'm excited to see what Imai and, you know, Eric Geddy can step into this year, and maybe if Christian Javier can have a bounce back, it's still the level of Framber. And I know I haven't always been the most pro Framber guy at the station, but replacing someone of that talent with the way you did is challenging.
Do you see that piece in The Athletic from Soft Chandler Rome about the dinner with Imai and
Weiss and others?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like, went out and had. I noticed the Rome in his article said that Imai ordered food, like his normal meal, and then ordered a sandwich later.
Hungry guy?
Yeah, like I wonder if he ate it later, like at the restaurant, or if it was like a snack for later.
Maybe
he
ordered his food, and it's one of those unfortunate times where you get your food, and you're like, that's not a lot of food.
Yeah.
He's like, this is not what I expect. This is not going to fill me
I think
me
he
up.
Said it was short rib, but short rib isn't usually a lot. Usually you're not ordering short rib for the volume.
Yeah, he probably thought he was going to get a lot more than he actually got.
Yeah. Like, I can also order the life of a millionaire, where you're just like, hey, I'm going to order my entree, and then I'm going to order my 10 p.m. snack.
Yes, that's
like,
true.
I would do that if I were a millionaire.
100%.
100%.
Yeah, the money, why not?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, this is going to be my 10 p.m. snack instead of this terrible popcorn.
It can be lunch the next day.
Right?
Like, just you're setting yourself up for success later on.
Yeah, it's a great move. It's a baller move, really. That's a low-key flex. No, I'm way more on the irreplaceable. I don't think he's a subtraction. I don't think this is an addition by subtraction move. Like, he's been a guy who's had under a 340 ERA in the lifetime of being a Houston Astro and hasn't thrown less than 176 innings in the last 4 years. Like, he's been in 190 or more in three of the last four. He's been a top 10 Cy Young guy in three of the last four seasons. Like, I won't Like, I won't take the slander of calling it subtraction or addition by subtraction that you lose Fromber. I understand the down. Like, there's pros and cons to every player, right? Every single player is a pro and a con. Jose Altuve, the greatest Astro of all time, has his weaknesses as a ball player. Everybody does. Michael Jordan had weaknesses as a basketball player. LeBron, who people consider a better basketball, the new generation, consider a better basketball player than Jordan, has weaknesses in his game. He does some things way better than he does others. In totality, Framber Valdez is a huge loss, in my opinion. He's been a workhorse for you. He's been almost an every year top 10 Cy Young guy for you. You go from having he and Hunter Brown in a rotation where, like, dang, that's a formidable 1-2. To now, like, there's a lot of mystery. Now, I wouldn't have paid Framber Valdez what he got. I don't like paying pitchers huge money to begin with. I don't like paying huge money to pitchers who are going to be in their 30s. I don't want to pay huge money to pitchers that are in their 30s and then also have had mental, lapses. So I wouldn't have paid him the money. Like, it's just part of it. You had to let him go. But it's way more of a subtraction than it is way more of a bad thing than a good thing.
Yeah, I was just surprised when I clicked on this Athletic article that Jason Stark put out that he was the only player that appeared in both categories. And it was 36 league executives voted for most irreplaceable subtraction of the winner and then best subtraction. He's the only one, I guess, with substantial votes. Pete Alonso got one vote in the best subtraction category, which surprises me. But the fact that you have all these guys, you know, who left teams this year, for Framber to be the only one that these executives around baseball were like, yeah, five people said he's the most irreplaceable subtraction. Three people said he's the best subtraction for their team.
That is weird.
But that goes back to the cross up of what people.
The perception is a cross up. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
The perception, 95% of, maybe more, of the baseball world think that he intentionally did that. And I'd like to point out that Salazar still pushing the pitch-com buttons after Framber Valdez starts his wind. So, I mean, look, I don't think he intentionally crossed him up. I do think that Framber working as reckless as he did because he was throwing a temper tantrum on the mound is pretty equal to the perception of a cross up, and then the aftermath of it where he just kind of storms back to the mound and doesn't check on his guy. Like, if it was an accidental cross up, and I do think it was an accidental cross up, you should go up to the guy. Hey, my bad. Like, that's on me. I was being a wild horse crybaby and I messed up. I'm sorry. And he didn't do that. So I'm not like letting him off the hook. I just don't believe the events played out the way people think the events played out. I'm not letting him off the hook or excusing him by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, and look, this conversation is going to kind of, I feel like it's going to be a thing that's going to swing back and forth throughout this entire season and into the future. You know, there's going to be a day where Framber goes out there for the Tigers and throws a gem.
Oh, yeah.
And Imai gets banged up a little bit and people are going, how could you let him walk? And then there's going to be an incident where him and AJ are going to have some kind of confrontation on the mound, and everyone's going to go, see, the Astros made the right decision.
And I think to your, like, the survey or whatever that had him in both areas, I think speaks to the volatility that is Framber Valdez. It speaks to him being a wild horse, that whenever everything's fine and everything's stable and you don't upset the wild horse, things are pretty good. But the moment the wild horse doesn't have the blinder on that day. The wild horse sees, you know, something it's foreign to and it goes nuts. That's why he's on that other list. And that's what you get. It's the Framber Valdez experiment. 713-780-3776. That Tiger rotation's pretty formidable, though. That's a pretty gnarly rotation they got in Motown. All right, let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Someone I know loves Motown. Willie, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Willie?
Like Nashville more. But Jeremy, last year, well, first of all, I'd like to say that Framber is going to be a big subtraction. You know, I hate to see him go.
But you like to watch him walk away?
I'm going to say, yeah.
Nothing. You know what I really like, though? Booty, Brian.
Two, Jeremy. But I hate to see him go, but if they weren't going to bring in a decent catcher, he needed to go. You know, they weren't going to pay him the money he deserved anyway. And even you at the end of last year after he hit the Salazar, you said from then on that they had to put Caratini. He never did put Caratini into the last start. And from it, he did great that game. Thank you.
That's an interesting point. Like a personal catcher. Fromber always had the personal catcher with Maldi, and he worked with Yiner early last year, but like maybe he needed the veteran, you know. I think it's a fair point, Willie. 713-780-3776. Kobe had no weaknesses. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Kobe had some weaknesses.
Especially if he was in Denver.
Didn't want to go there.
I did.
It did cross my mind. Kobe's no longer with us. How can you throw strays at him like that, Joe?
That's
very
fair,
insensitive.
It happened.
If he didn't, Fromber, intentionally hit him, how come there wasn't some sort of apology from him or an acknowledgement when it happened? Because he was throwing a fit.
Yeah.
He was throwing a hissy fit.
Yeah,
not that it's excusable, but because he's throwing a hissy fit, which we know Fromber does.
No, he claimed. No, they claimed afterwards there was like a meeting.
After the game.
After the game.
Yeah, in the clubhouse.
Yeah, in the moment, there was nothing. He was in a bad mood. He was in a bad headspace that day.
Yeah.
Very bad.
Very, 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 very bad. I think Fromber left his body and was like, oh, my goodness, and had to turn around to mentally reset so he could recover and continue to pitch as he always does after a meltdown, he adjusts. That is something that his therapist told him to do, is that whenever he starts to see red, to go to the back of the mound and, like, try to cool off, which he does do that. So, like, that's valid. Like, was that part of Fromber not checking up on his catcher? Was that he knew that he was losing his mind, that he walked off the mound so he could get into his little, like, you know, zen moment?
Yeah.
I think it's likely. I think it's very likely. Now, does it excuse it? No, it doesn't excuse it. But it just gives you a kind of a more accurate, more context to the events. Also, I don't care anymore. You know? He's in Detroit. Like, I don't care if he crossed him up or he didn't cross him up intentionally. Like, it's so far in the past for me. And the only person still on this team in that little battery that they had going on there is Salazar. And he might not be on this team by opening day.
Yeah.
So I really don't care about it.
No, and because the only thing that Fromber matters now is if he's going to stop you from making the playoffs in any way.
Good.
That's all.
Like, yeah.
Now, I think they're going to win the division this year, the Tigers. So
I do, too.
We'll see if it really affects it. But you know, you might see him once or twice this year if you're lucky, but that's it. But for now, it's out of sight, out of mind.
That's what I feel. And look, I don't...
Because I would not have paid him.
No, that's the thing. Like, I would... Fromber Valdez on this team was never an option unless he got to the range of a big one-year contract. Or some sort of one-year mutual option, second year. Like, for what Fromber Valdez got, I was never going to pay Fromber Valdez that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I like what you said. Out of sight, out of mind. Someone who we don't want to be out of sight, out of mind, though, Joe. Yordan Alvarez. Remember him?
I do.
Yordan Alvarez. I think we need a reminder, a little refresher. Do we need to add to the Yordan rules? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.9 HD2. You know what one of those rules are? All the vehicles that you purchase are from Monument Chevrolet. Why would you do that? Because Monument Chevrolet has the best vehicles. And all the vehicles are kind of the same. But what Monument Chevrolet does that's better than anybody else, well, they have great salespeople. They have GM Jeff over there. GM Jeff is awesome. They're not going to hassle you with these deals. They're transparent with you. They're not going to, you know, hang you over the coals with their pricing. No, Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. You can get your car shopping done fast. Why can you trust them? It's still family-owned after all these years. 50 years, by the way. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles Monument Chevrolet has, and they keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. But a family feel, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a great culture, including the great people they hire, their salespeople. Every salesperson in Houston wants to be at Monument Chevrolet because of how they take care of their salespeople. So they have top-of-the-line salespeople, which means you would like to get your vehicle from a top-of-the-line salesperson. Also, they're offering exceptional deals on new vehicles, Silverado, the Trax, Equinox, whatever's your jam. They got it for you. Tell them your budget, and they're going to work hard to meet that budget. A fair deal, a transparent deal, a no-hassle deal without wasting that precious time. We don't have a lot of time. We know that. We have very little time during our week. We have kids, we have family, we have things to do, we got to work. You have very little time to do car shopping. That's why Monument Chevrolet is for you. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Visit them online at monumentchevrolet.com to check out their full inventory. But better yet, just go see them. 225 at Beltway 8. I mentioned GM Jeff a little bit earlier. He's waiting for you. GM Jeff, best in the business. He's going to take care of you and get you in the vehicle you want at the price you want it at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. Chandelier Rome is in our YouTube chat right now.
I see that.
That's a good name. It's a good name. Chandelier Rome. I mean, it kind of speaks to his softness.
Yeah.
A little bit. A little bit. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Another junkie asked, when is Walker Yannick
junkie
called up to replace Cesar Salazar? Cesar Salazar.
Oh, he was a high A-ball last year?
Nashville.
So, I mean, it feels like he's still at least a year away.
I think he's a year away from being a year away. No, I actually don't believe that. I think that the earliest possible chance you see him is like in the summer. I think it is way more likely that he is the backup catcher on next year's team. They do like his defense. Dana Brown, again, how much stock are you putting in what Dana Brown's saying? Joe would put all his Bitcoin stock into what Dana Brown is saying. It's not very much.
Zero.
What he thinks it's going to be, though. They like his defense.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, he's a non-major league invitee to spring training this year. So could he work his way if he has a great spring into the roster? Probably not.
I don't think so.
Like, could he be in AAA this year? I'd hope so.
I think they need to learn their lesson, too, on how they handle hot spring trainings.
Yeah.
Like, they need to reevaluate that.
Well, the thing that's different, too, between him and Cam Smith is a guy like Cam Smith was going to play. Zach Cole is going to play this year.
Yeah.
Walker Yannick's not going to play.
Right.
He's going to play once a week. Maybe twice a week, like once a week.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the week. But, I mean, Yiner's not starting six out of every seven games. That's too much for a catcher. Like, you start probably, what, three, four games in a row?
Yeah.
So you're missing every fourth or fifth game. 130 starts for Yiner. And that's assuming no injuries for anybody. So, now, in Yannick, best case scenario, if Yiner's healthy, your backup catcher, you want to start 30, 35 games.
Yeah, and now if Yiner were to get hurt this year, you could see if Walker's having a good, you know, minor league season, he could get called up to be the guy and then could stay on the roster as the backup when Yiner returns with good health. But I don't anticipate him being up this year.
That's a scary scenario, by the way.
If Yiner gets hurt?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can survive some places. Certainly you can survive on the infield because you have an infield surplus. Your outfield, they're all kind of, I don't want to say they're similar, but, you know, maybe interchangeable a little bit. Jordan's obviously very critical, but if Yiner gets hurt and you're going Cesar Salazar to mostly everyday basis, and whoever it is, whether it's Walker Yannick rushed up to the big leagues or this, like, you know, minor league contract guy they gave out, like, they're going to be hurting. Yiner might be, from the offensive players, the second most important player to keep healthy.
I mean, and they don't have another catcher on their 40-man roster right
now.
No. So, like, if Yiner do, like, a 15-day stint or 10-day stint, whatever it is now.
They signed a guy to the minor league contract. Like, he's a veteran. He's been around forever. He's, like, not very good. He's, a journeyman.
Yeah.
He's not the 40-man.
So, you have to call up someone. Now, at this point, like, again, if Walker's having a good minor league season, I'd just call him up and play him over Salazar at that point. Like,
I still think it's too early.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if it's just for like a short 15-day stint?
If it's shorter, I'm more reluctant to do it. Like, I don't want him to just get a taste and then, like, see ya. Like, yeah. The guy that I'm thinking of is Carlos Perez, who's had 280 big league games, 218 average. You know, I guess he's a solid receiver. He hadn't played in the bigs since 13, 68 games for Oakland. He played in 15, 16, 17 for the Angels. Like, this is their third catcher right now. It's Carlos Perez. Carlos Perez.
Yeah, you're in a tough spot if Yarner goes down this year.
Critical.
Like, it's. I'm trying to think what even would be more, would be comparable in terms of the drop-off.
I think he's the third most important person to keep healthy. I think he's the third most important.
So, Hunter, Alvarez,
Yiner? I don't know if I wouldn't put Yordan ahead of Hunter.
Sure.
I would probably go Yordan, Hunter, very close. Drop,
Yiner.
Huge drop.
So I don't even know. I mean, if you keep your roster as is, like the infielders is kind of
poison. And they almost do you a favor.
Yeah.
Because like they make it pretty easy on a spot at that point.
Yeah, if Craig gets hurt, well, then Paredes plays third. Mm-hmm. If Altuve gets hurt, then Paredes plays second.
Yeah.
Like you're kind of okay as long as your roster is constructed as it is. Your outfield, you have depth in the minors that you can rely on. You can bring up a DiCenzo to come up and help you. And you have Shea Whitcomb as an option, too. Floating around out there. But Yiner, there's no one else that has real legit experience on this roster.
See, I'm
Which
not.
Is why I still think they might bring someone in.
It wouldn't surprise me. Maybe that's how they spend their excess $6 million that they save from Jesus Sanchez. It's a better use than Michael Conforto. Like, I'll tell you that. Now, I also don't mind Cesar Salazar being the backup catcher on this team, though. Now, would I want them to kind of solidify their third catcher option? Like, can you, whoever is the best catcher on the market that you can bring in on a minor league contract? Okay. Like, I would want that to be fulfilled a little bit better, but
yeah.
It's probably very similar to Carlos Perez. You know, there's probably not a big difference between the guy that I just described and Carlos Perez.
So it's just, you're kind of stuck.
Talk Martin Maldonado out of retirement.
He's somewhere. He's coaching somewhere, isn't he?
I think he's coaching his country in the WBC. No, he did get a job. I think it might be the Angels. I don't remember. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. Astro should have kept Corey Lee. Meh, Corey Lee hasn't really done much.
At all. He won't even be their catcher this year.
Yeah, he hadn't done much. Now, I mean, you got Graveman. Like, Graveman wasn't great for you. He's fine. Kind of injured. I wish he wouldn't have been injured, because I think he would have been pretty good. Yeah, Lee was off to a decent offensive season, then got hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was off to a decent offensive year.
Yeah, he only had 40 plate appearances last year.
Yeah, he just hasn't done a ton. Like, I'm not really sulking with the fact that they lost Corey Lee. You know the trade that I wish I had back?
What's that?
Speaking of backup catchers, Willier Abreu.
Oh, yeah.
So they have somebody else with Willier Abreu. I don't remember who that was. But Willier Abreu and another dude for Christian Vasquez. And Vasquez wouldn't even play because Dusty had a crush on Martin Maldonado. People don't like when I bring this up, though. But, well, Vasquez caught the game where he threw a no-hitter, or Javier threw a no-hitter. Would he have thrown it with Maldonado? Like, I think there's still a decent chance he would have.
Or at least had a very good start.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a no-hitter.
Maybe he still win the game.
Yeah.
Like, was Christian Vasquez the reason the Astros won the World Series? If the Astros didn't trade for Christian Vasquez, do they still win the World Series in 2022?
Yes.
I believe they do. So, and again, look at revisionist history. I get it. But they don't make that trade. They still have Willier Abreu here. Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't Willier Abreu on this team be kind of cool? Weren't the Astros trying to get Willier Abreu for Isak Paredes? Wouldn't it be kind of cool to have Isak Paredes and Willier Abreu?
It would be nice.
Wouldn't it be kind of cool? Like that. And look, I'm not being critical of the front office because, like, look, you won a World Series. This is more like wishful revisionist history, hindsight 2020. I wish they wouldn't have done that. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Dana Brown's failures outweigh his successes. Why isn't there a vet catcher on this squad? Because I'm not sure I don't think there's a huge upgrade between the best remaining free agent catcher and Salazar.
Yeah, Vasquez, like, wasn't good last year.
Would you rather carry Salazar at the league minimum or pay Vasquez $2.5 million?
I'd save the money.
Right. Now, here's where I will be critical about Dana Brown and the handling of the backup catcher position. If you were going to trade Jesus Sanchez in a cost-cutting move for a guy who's at best a bench outfielder, and maybe not even that, so you could save $6 million, why didn't you do that before Victor Caratini signed and spend the money on Caratini?
Great question.
That's where I'll be critical of Dana Brown. I'm not going to be critical of Dana Brown for not having Christian Vasquez on this team over Cesar Salazar. I think that's marginal at best, and Salazar might even be better at this point in time as we discuss this in 2026. Now, I do think it's a fair criticism that if Dana was going to just trade Jesus Sanchez to save money, maybe just non-tender him. Maybe trade him for Joey Loperfido 3 months ago. Yeah. And then use that savings on Victor Caratini, who's a left-handed backup catcher that can start for you. He's a capable starting catcher for you. And then if he's not catching, he could be a pinch hitter. He can give you – he's got a little bit of position flexibility. Well, he doesn't have great position flexibility. He can play a little bit of first, but he's your backup first baseman. He's your backup catcher. He's your left-handed pinch hitter late in the game. That's where I'm critical of Dana Brown.
Yeah, I mean, you could bring in Vasquez if the contract is similar to what Jonah Heim got, which is – $1.25 million.
Okay.
Is all I got from the Braves. So, like, that's a minimal contract.
Yeah, but is it worth it?
It depends on how they act at the deadline. Like, if it's a $5 million contract, which I don't think it would be at this point in the offseason, and it's going to prevent you from doing something later on, then no, it's not worth it.
But here's my thing with this. Like, I don't want to sign Vasquez for $1.25 million, and then he's not better than Salazar. It's just a waste of $1.25 million.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just ride with Salazar because I think Salazar might be better at this point than Christian Vasquez. And I don't have to spend $1.25 million. You know, like that's where I'm at with it. Caratini signed a $14 million two-year contract. So you would have paid $1 million more than the savings you just accrued by trading Jesus Sanchez.
That would have been worth it.
It's like a syllogism, right? You trade Jesus Sanchez, you sign Victor Caratini, yeah. And it's perfect.
And I also don't think that trading Jesus Sanchez was something that they like just decided they were going to do.
I mean,
I would assume.
I'm not sure I believe that, Joe. I'm not sure I believe that.
You think it's more? What do you think is more directly related to the fact that they couldn't move Paredes?
No, I think they thought they were going to move from the infield surplus. Like, why would you trade Jesus Sanchez on February whatever it was 5th, as opposed to November 5th?
I don't know.
Like, if you were gonna free up $6 million in money so you could spend, wouldn't you want to do it earlier in free agency than later in free agency? And here's the other thing: they could have non-tendered Jesus Sanchez and had the savings all along. So, like, and if backup catcher was such an important need, which I'm not sure they think that it is because there's not a backup catcher here, and they seem content going with Salazar, wouldn't you have cleared the money at the earlier possible time on the calendar when you have more players to spend the money on?
Mm-hmm.
Total theory here, cash or trash, 713-780-3776. But the timing of the salary dump, considering he could have been a non-tender candidate to begin with, the fact that you didn't trade him 2-3 months ago, you traded him 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, and then Dana's like, we're not done yet. I believe, Joe, I keep saying that like Rich Eisen. I believe, Joe, that Dana Brown felt that he had a trade partner. I don't know if it was for Esau. I don't know if it was Christian Walker. I have no idea. I believe that he felt he had a suitor to fix his infield surplus, and he wanted to free up some cash in order to, you know, have some more wiggle room with this trade. Maybe they were bringing in a bigger contract because Esau's making what, 9?
Yep.
Like maybe they were bringing in a $15 million left-handed hitter. So there's your savings, right? You know, because that was the rumor we heard with Duran, was that they didn't want to trade for Duran because they didn't want to take that much more money on per year, right? Duran's makes like 15 or whatever the number is. It's more than Esau. So why is that the case? Well, they didn't want to spend more money. They didn't want to go into the luxury tax. So Dana Brown clears the $6 million in savings by trading Sanchez for Lo Perfido. He tells them twice that he's not done. I believe he had a suitor for his infield surplus problem. He felt that he was going to bring in more money, so he cleared savings to bring in that money, and then the trade fell through. And then now, I think that's why he said he's not done whenever he initially made this trade. And this is why we're hearing these last couple of days from Brian McTaggart that the chances of trading Esau Paredes have gone down in the last couple of weeks.
100%.
That's my theory. That's just me having deductive reasoning, putting two and two together. I am not this great journalist like Chandelier Rome, soft boy. This is just me being, a thinker.
Well,
If
it's not that, then it's literally just to save $6 million. And they just changed their mind on Jesus Sanchez.
Or they like Michael Conforto.
Which I hope not.
So that's why I think it's a plausible theory. I think it's a pretty good theory. And I'm not saying that just because it's my idea. Now, it does help, but I'm not saying that just because it's my idea. Cash or trash that? 713-780-3776.
I cash that.
All right. Jordan rules. Jordan rules. What are they? What do we need to add? What do we need to take away? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Finally. The Rockets are back in action tonight, Joe. They're finally back in action. There's a basketball game right when we go off the air today, which is so timely. All-Star break was too long. We had all those burner rumors out there. I just want them to play, and they will be playing today. Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, block parties are back, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all season long. You can make picks and win money right now in Texas. It's so easy playing on Underdog, too. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, steals, and more. Will Kevin Durant have more than a half a burner tonight? Will Alpi Shingun, will he score 18 and a half? You like the higher or lower there? Kevin Durant. Yeah, you can pick all of these. Get your picks right. You can win 5,000 times your cash. Plus, Underdog's always taking care of you. They're running promos all the time. I got in on this promo the other day. I got a LaMelo Ball free pick. This was before his wreck, too. I don't know how that influences things. But I got a LaMelo Ball free pick. So it doesn't matter what he does today. Check that box. One pick right. Two other picks here. Kevin Durant higher than 24.5 points. Alpi Şengün higher than 18.5 points. Why do I like that? Because I like the chemistry this Rockets team is building. That pays out a little bit over 5 times my entry. So get in on this if you're jonesing for some football. How about some NFL best balls? Come draft an NFL best ball with me. And also, when you download the Underdog app and use promo code KILLERB, you're going to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Promo code KILLERB, KILLERB, Underdog. Make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_dfs_html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-MY-RESET or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. To the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. We'll get to the Yordan rules here in a minute. Should we add? Should we subtract? Just a refresher course on it as well. But H-Town Wheelhouse has a thought or two on my theory, my Dana DeBrown theory. Why did they wait so long to clear the savings for Sanchez? They could have done it as a non-tender. They could have done it earlier in the offseason. He trades Sanchez. He says, we're not done. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, no, not trading Isak Paredes, at least according to Brian McTaggart. Cash or trash that theory. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. H-Town Wheelhouse, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's good, H-Town Wheelhouse? Good to hear from you.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing? Great show as always. Number one, I just want to tell you, I would fully endorse and promote any fight or sparring that you did with Chandler or anybody. I think that would be fun. I'll just say that. I'll just go on record. So look, it makes sense because the kind of swag that Dana Brown had, or, you know, the little look back, or just the way he said it, like, we're not done yet. Like, I'm like, okay. Like, you know, and then, of course, the famous, like, let Dana cook, you know, tweet started going out. I mean, I know that when you are in these trade talks, these teams, like, these things flip, like, in a second. They can be full bore going all in, and all of a sudden, boom, the rug gets pulled. I mean, you look back to when the Nationals and the Astros were talking, and apparently there was a deal that was imminent with Bryce Harper, but the owner's like, no, or the deal with Justin Verlander come in here. I mean, that didn't happen until the 11th hour kind of thing. So I think it's very plausible because, you know, none of us are in those rooms, but it's very plausible that Dana Brown very much was very confident that he had something. And connecting that with the Loperfido and Jesus Sanchez trade with that number figure makes a lot of sense, Jeremy. I mean, it just does. And I mean, at this point, all we can do is speculate and come up with theories, but I think it's a pretty darn good theory.
Thank you, H.
There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
That was the validation I was looking for, and it came from a man I respect. So there you go. There you go. I mean, you guys weren't. I mean, Joe did.
I said I agree.
Brian's sitting over there playing on his computer, like the files are in the computer.
You think that's what I was doing?
I don't know why I made that sound.
I was putting soccer matters, or sorry, Destination 2026
yeah,
together.
Show right,
man, I know.
Man
I know.
Must work get on it. Computer. 713-780.
Is that how I sound to you?
No.
Okay.
A free agent catcher the Astros could take a look at is Tony Eusebio, signed Keith. It's funny.
That would be one of Keith's better texts, I think.
Tony Eusebio. Easily my favorite backup catcher of all time.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
He's definitely number one. I thought Greg Zahn was fun for a year.
You had an affinity for Greg Zahn?
For a year.
I never really thought much of Greg Zahn.
I just like that he spelled his name with 2 G's on the end. Oh. I don't know why, but I found that to be humorous.
And he had 1 G at the start.
Yeah.
I always thought Mitch Molesky was going to turn into a dude. He had like that rookie year and was like, oh, this guy's going to be good. And then he was never good after that. And he punched a teammate as well.
Which can't do that.
Fun. No, you can if you continue to be good.
Yeah, if you're Michael Jordan, sure, you can punch a teammate.
Yeah, if you're good, you can. I'd take Vasquez right now over Salazar as a backup. Okay, tomato, tomato. Like, I prefer Salazar over Vasquez slightly. If they signed Vasquez tomorrow, would I cry about it? No. Like, that's not a towel seal I'm like willing to die on. But I would just go Salazar over Vasquez. Maldonado retired in October. Thank you for that. What are you saving the money for, Joe? Explain your platitude.
That they don't want to spend money right now, and they made a cost-saving move to either make a trade now or in the future.
Yeah, I don't mind keeping you – I don't mind – look, if you need financial flexibility at the deadline, why not just keep your financial flexibility at the deadline? I'm okay with that too. You both act like your Crane's accountant team, say for what? Well, this, again, depends on how you view things. I think it's perfectly fair for Jim Crane to say that he doesn't want to go into the luxury tax. Some people have a different opinion of that. Some people are like, no, spin like the Dodgers. I think that's unrealistic. All that I asked for personally, and again, to each their own – I just want Jim Crane to go up to the luxury tax each and every year. And he's done that, and he's even gone over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. So if Crane is spending up to the luxury tax, cool. I'm for it. I don't need him to go over the luxury tax. That's not something that I demand.
Yeah, he treats it like how it was designed, was kind of a cap. Just the Dodgers and the Mets have billions of dollars, so they don't do that.
Yeah.
That's what when we get to the offseason or we start talking about lockouts and things like that, it was intended to punish teams for going over. There's just two teams that it doesn't matter at this point.
Who's calling me through my radio show? Chandelier. How dare you? Chandelier Rome doesn't have my number. He did slide in my DMs a few times, though. 5856, I saw that Instagram the other day. He sent us a big rig that had had the straps, and it would just strapped in a Coors Light, like 12-pack, a case of Coors Lights. He's just sent the Instagram. I saw that the other day. It's pretty funny. Dana Brown is either a horrible GM or just a yes man for Crane. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair take. Y'all act like Salazar's Aaron Judge. Okay, you're being dumb. Can y'all say ho on air like Joe a ho? The ones you rake or hoe with.
You really willingly went along with that shot at Joe.
What happened? What did I do to the text line?
He's not saying that you are one. Mm. He's saying, can you say it? He just used a word that rhymed with it so that we were very clear.
Mm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can say Joe's a hoe.
As long as it depends on what you're referring to.
If he's the garden equipment, we can say Joe's a hoe.
Well, he's like, you know, the device that we use to hoe, which I have a hoe at home because I used to garden a little bit in the garage. It's a very useful tool. The utility purposes it has, mm-hmm. you use it in a variety of different ways. You can use it to unweed things. You can use it to just kind of rake, to kind of level it out. It's a great tool that serves many purposes. So I think calling Joe the gardening tool, I think is a compliment.
I don't know if he wants to be called a tool with many purposes. I don't know if that's a compliment.
But I meant tool like a piece, like somebody who's very resourceful and helpful.
Okay.
I think you're digging too much to try to insult Joe here, bro.
So in that way, we can't say he is, in fact, a hoe.
Yeah, just utility man.
He's like Dubon, kind of.
Yeah.
You have a variety of different things that are very useful and resourceful. Hopefully not.
Dubon. I mean,
there's not many Nick the Sticks that come around, though. If there's a Nick the Stick
who's
that pops
Houston
up.
Who's the radio equivalent of Nick the Stick?
Well, he does one thing very good, Nick Allen does, and then he does nothing else good. He's a great defender. He's a lousy, lousy hitter, Nick the Stick. So it'd be like somebody who's one.
You could talk about one topic.
Like a one sport pony.
I know a few of those.
Baytown Batty?
That's kind of, yeah.
But even then, I got questions.
But it might be the most important of the sports knowledge.
It is.
Like football, what's the priority of sports knowledge to make for a good radio host in this city? Football's probably one.
Football, Astros, basketball.
Yeah.
I would say that order.
And it might just be football, Astros, Rockets, Cougs. You know, it might not even be NBA. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
So maybe that's not – maybe it would be somebody who's more – maybe it's somebody who's great with rocket talk and then lousy at everything else. I think that would be the equivalent. I think Baytown Batty was a bad stray. My bad. Because he does have knowledge with the most important sport topic in the city. Now, it's very player-specific, not really roster building, stuff like that. Just kind of different. But I respect his football mind, no doubt. I think it would be somebody who is great at basketball.
But nothing else.
And lousy at baseball and football.
I don't know.
I don't know anybody like that anymore.
I don't either.
Like PNP are very well-versed.
Why laugh, Brian?
I've never listened to the new guy at Highway to Hell, Reggie.
I like him.
Do you? I've never heard his new show, Reggie and Lopez. Lopez is pretty well versed, you know, old school a little bit.
Sure.
I don't listen to the afternoon shows because I'm working, right?
We are.
I don't really listen to sports radio because I don't want it to interfere in my takes. So these are all things that I've listened to in the past. So any new guys, I don't know anything about. The morning show, I've worked with Cole. Cole's pretty good with football. I think Cole's pretty well versed.
Football's definitely his main.
I like Dan. I've never heard Dan on the radio.
Same.
I've talked to Dan outside of the radio, like him. Never have heard him on radio. Matt's well versed. I haven't heard much of Ross.
Ross is well versed.
He's well versed.
Okay. I like Wex and I like Clanton.
Yep.
So like
they're okay.
I'm cool with them. Like I like them.
Underselling it there.
Yeah. They're all right.
Our guys are Hall of Famers. Dell, I love Dell. Maybe Rich Eisen's the answer.
You know what?
Maybe Rich.
He
Eisen's
really can
the
only
answer.
Talk football.
Maybe it's Rich.
Well, he's got the reverse.
But it's not local.
But he only does it politely. Like he's not mean.
Without giving takes.
He's not critical of anyone, honestly.
So who is the Nick Allen of Houston sports radio host? 713
secretly gave the answer.
780 ESPN. We'll eventually get to the Yordan rules. I don't know when, but at some point. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe just watching some college baseball on the TV screen. A little Cincinnati at UAB. I was telling Joe earlier, I broadcast a few games at UAB back in the Conference USA days. They sit visiting radio in the grandstands of the last row of the grandstands. Now, not a very big grandstand though, so it's like a good positioning.
It's just a weird position.
It's just you're among the fans.
It's strange.
And a lot of times during baseball season, it can get a little hot in Birmingham.
I'm sure it can.
Get a little warm.
What part of the field?
Behind home plate.
Behind home plate.
Their grandstands like first base to third.
Oh, I see.
Gotcha. It's not a huge grandstand. It's pretty small. It might not even be first base to third base. It might be like on deck circle to on deck circle. Not a big grandstand, but that's kind of what makes it weird. You're just like sitting in the middle of a bunch of fans
in
a small grandstand with 50 people. And it's like, oh, there goes a deep fly to the left.
Yeah, they can hear everything you're saying.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
And like, you know, my rooting interest is different than their rooting interest.
Yeah.
So like, you know, guy hits a home run, I'm losing my mind, and they're like, sad.
I'm sure at least some of them look at you like, what is this guy doing?
For sure.
Like, is this actually a legit broadcast
exactly.
Or is he just some jabroni?
They probably think I'm a jabroni, and they're probably not wrong. 713-780-ESPN. What happened to Jose Jorge? Ask a junkie. Jose Jorge only makes an appearance the first Thursday of every month.
Este amor?
There he is. Little taste of what you can hear the first Thursday in March.
It has to be the first Wednesday of March.
Why is that?
I'll be out.
Oh,
first Thursday.
That's very convenient.
That's why I'm saying we're moving it to Wednesday.
You ducking it?
I feel like we should do it.
We're doing it Wednesday.
Should we do it Wednesday or should we do it the second Thursday of March?
I'll be out that Thursday too. Actually,
what is your deal? You're trying to avoid Jose.
I'm out the first Thursday and Friday the first 2 weeks of March.
What are you doing?
First one's rodeo.
Another Cubcom?
Rodeo, and then Joseph's birthday.
Cubcom.
And then I got a wedding the second weekend of March. Gotta go to North Carolina.
What parts?
Raleigh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can fly right into Raleigh, Durham Airport. Yeah. It's beautiful up there.
I've heard. I'm excited to go.
Beautiful up there. I've been there a few times. Chapel Hill for a regional, actually. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
So be on Wednesday.
You leave on Wednesday?
No, we'll have to do it on the Wednesday.
Man, whatever. Whatever you want to do. It's your show, Joe.
I'm not ducking it,
Sam's
Brian.
Sam's putting you in the first of the marquee.
Brian accused me of ducking. I'm not ducking.
You're kind of ducking.
Oh, hasta donde estés?
All right. Do you want to remember some of these Yordan rules, Joe?
Yeah, because I don't remember any of them.
Really?
Yeah.
It started off as a joke, and it became kind of real, where it's like, okay.
Well, I was with you when it started,
yeah.
And then I left.
Because Jordan had the Jordan rules.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a kind of a playoff of that. If Jordan's going to have the Jordan rules, then Yordan needs to have the Yordan rules. Plus, he's soft. So, like,
yes,
he needs some of these rules because he's kind of soft. So, the first time the Yordan rules came into existence was May 9th, 2023.
Okay.
It's almost 3 years of the Yordan rules
here.
So, the first initial Yordan rules were no diving, sliding, and running hard.
That last one turned out to be very true. With
no running hard.
Yeah.
Jordan cannot run hard. Orbit in a golf cart driving into left field and back to the dugout, which that one's, you know, whatever. We can throw that one, a silly one. Can't have Abreu behind him in the batting order.
Okay.
I forgot about that.
Aged well.
Which is, yeah, I mean, you don't want Jose Abreu protecting Jordan.
So before we, go any further, should we just amend this Jordan rule?
To what? No Christian Walker?
I say, we just make it Walker?
No Christian Walker directly behind Jordan in the
lineup? I think we just amend it.
We can do that.
Okay.
We can amend. Every list of rules has amendments. Right?
Yeah.
It's good for the Constitution. It's good for us.
Okay, so can't have Walker directly bat directly behind him.
Yeah. When he calls for a fly ball, everyone else runs away.
Yep.
I think we did this right after he collided with Pena.
I think that's when it started.
I think that was the genesis of the Jordan rules, is whenever he collided with Pena.
Mm-hmm.
Then some of them that have been added on over the years, Jordan rule, don't pitch to him with runners in scoring position, which really isn't his rule. That's somebody else's rule.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Jordan rules bubble wrap on his hands.
Okay.
We actually said that in 2023.
Was that the year he had the hand injury, didn't know what hand it was?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he knew, but Dusty
didn't. Well, Dusty didn't know, right.
And Jordan couldn't tell us. But it really hits home from last season. Like, if they would have listened to my Jordan rules and he had bubble wrap on his hands since 2023, I think his hands would be okay.
It might be okay.
Yeah. Another one came out in 23. He can receive as many pitch clock violations as he chooses.
Okay, I like that.
Jordan can do what he wants. If Jordan wants a pitch clock violation, Jordan should have a pitch clock violation, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Let's see if there's any more here that we got. There's certainly more. I'm just trying to serve up. Oh, yeah, this is one where he sprained his ankle. That was rough. I think that might be all of them, actually.
So there's seven?
There's seven. We need more than seven. I've had more than this. I must be searching the wrong thing.
Yeah, wasn't there some sort of rule about hotel pillows after that?
Yeah.
Or smoke in Atlanta?
There's definitely smoke.
Don't let them out with the fireworks.
Yep.
Don't
let
them see fireworks. Don't let them sleep on hotel pillows.
Okay.
I think I typed in the wrong story. I put rules instead of rule. Because we got a bunch of them here. He can miss 100 games whenever he wants as long as he's back by the stretch drive.
Good call. I like that rule still.
Right? So he can miss whenever he wants, but he has to be back by the stretch drive.
See, now that they missed the playoffs last year, though.
Mm, you're changing it.
And we have to change it.
Okay.
50?
Give him 50.
Can miss 50
Give him 50 days to go to La Playa and kind of rejuvenate himself.
Yeah, it's PTO days. I think that's what we amended it to last year.
It's 50 PTO. Not days, games.
Games, yes.
It's 50, and if he wisely uses his games correctly, like to where there's a stretch of off days, mm-hmm. he might be able to turn 50 games of PTO into 60 days.
Yeah.
Be smart about it.
Do it at the All-Star break. Take off before.
This one might be debatable. I have Jordan rule number 87. I think we have 88 rules. I think I jumped the gun on a few of these. Okay. Jordan rule number 87. If Jordan plays, Jordan bats cleanup. See, this one could be up for debate.
Yeah, that one's a little outdated.
I didn't realize we were going to have to buckle up for this argument. I like Jordan batting cleanup.
No, I meant as far as I think that ship has sailed.
I mean, it was 25.
Yeah, it feels like Joe wants to hit him second, so it feels like that ship is sailed.
Yeah, it's one of those where a lot of these other Jordan rules we can enforce. This one, I don't think so.
When he takes BP, he can take BP with a naked head. I don't know why I said that.
With what?
A naked head. Because he's bald and he was taking BP without a helmet.
Okay.
A naked head.
Okay.
I mean, you're working on one of those.
I am.
For now.
We'll see.
Only Jordan says when Jordan plays. That's kind of very similar to the other one, though.
Yeah.
So I think that one can just be merged into one PTO.
Yeah.
All right. He's not required to swing a bat while on the injured list until a day before he's eligible to return. This was over the hand.
Yeah. This is a we can't trust the medical staff 60% healed.
No. Yeah, I think I'm fine with this.
I'm good with that.
This happened. This happened with Jordan last year.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the quote tweet here. I quote tweeted Rome, which is something I'm not no longer going to be able to do. I'm going to have to screen grab his tweets instead. Chandler to Rome, soft boy. He said that Jordan, who's eligible to come off the injured list tomorrow, hit in the cages before today's game. So this happened last year, where the next day that Jordan was eligible to come off the IL was the first day that he was hitting again.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that one. He's not required to make all his towns. Yordan, which I think can kind of be merged into the other one, right?
So like I said, that doesn't want to play in Tampa.
But I think that we can merge that with the 50 PTO.
I agree. That's fine.
All right, we got more of the Yordan rules here. The junkies have something they want to add. We can subtract these two. Are you working on this? Are you writing up a Yordan constitution?
I'm trying to.
A bill of rights?
We're going to cut it down to 10?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we always add. No, there's not a set number for the Yordan rules. You know what the right number is for the Yordan rules?
Whenever it
the right number is the right number.
The right number.
Whatever we deem fit.
It could be 200.
It probably will be at the end of the season.
It's true.
All right, 713-780-3776. What do we need to add? What do we need to omit? The Yordan rules. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.